All right, welcome back to Talkin' Baseball alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. My name is Kerry Crowley. Beautiful Sunday morning, and it's time to talk to our next guests. It's my pleasure to welcome in MLB.com reporter Justice De Los Santos. He's a Bay Area kid. Justice, welcome to Talkin' Baseball, your debut on the KMBR airwaves. How are you, sir?
I appreciate you for having me. Long-time listener, first-time caller, all that good stuff.
Fantastic. Well, you've covered so many different teams this season. We're going to make this a national discussion because I've really enjoyed your work on a lot of different things. But first, I want to get your impression on the San Francisco Giants, still leading the National League West, still atop a division that was expected to be the most difficult in all of baseball this season. You've been out at Oracle Park a few times this season. What has been the key to this team's success in your mind?
I feel like there's a long laundry list of things to go down when you want to talk about this Giants team, and obviously you're tapped into this team, you know this team very well. And I think even to just take it back a little bit and start kind of at the beginning, I think the general expectation with this team is that they were going to be solid, they were going to have a decent floor, you know, a lot of veterans. I thought like DeSclafani and Alex Wood were going to have bounce back similar to Gausman. But I think when you see what this team is doing, as you kind of mentioned, it's just defying and shattering all expectations. And I think for me, the one thing that's made this Giants team so successful is that there is essentially a unilateral plan in place from top to bottom. There's a general understanding of who this team is. They have a strong grasp of their identity and they stick to their identity. And I think I was trying to figure out like to have a comparison in terms of what the Giants are doing. And the only one that is like even in the ballpark in terms of purely getting the most out of the guys that they have is the Rays. And I mean that in the sense that they know their personnel, they know them to a T, and they know how to get the most out of them. And when I say the most out of them, I'm not talking about just guys like Brandon Crawford, who are having revival season, Kevin Gausman, who's having a Cy Young award. Well, unless there's that guy in New York who might have something to say about that, but supposedly having a bounce back season, but also guys like Mike Tauchman, who on Friday made another one of the plays of the year, Lamont Wade Jr., who has essentially stepped into that leadoff spot and helped contribute. So it's knowing who they are and sticking to that identity that I think has made them, from my vantage point, so successful.
You've covered a lot of Padres games this year, a lot of Dodgers teams as well. I'm curious how you see this National League West race shaping out. Can the Giants hang in it all season long in your mind for a Padres team that's been slightly underwhelming? What's been the issue there? And when will the Dodgers hit their stride? Because we know they haven't quite hit it yet, Justice.
So to start with the Padres, I think the very interesting thing about the Padres is that as we're having this conversation, they're about 9 games above 500, which at this point in the year, that's certainly nothing to panic about. But when you kind of look at everything associated with the Padres, everything around it, they've essentially haven't fully clicked. And for those who haven't followed them detailedly, like, yes, there is Fernando Tatis Jr., there's Trent Grisham, who are playing out of their mind, playing like superstars. But when you kind of dig into them, you know, Nelson Lamet has been injured. Blake Snell has yet to been Blake Snell. A lot of their key guys on the offensive side, Manny Machado, Eric Hosmer, Will Myers, they've kind of taken a step back compared to last year. And that was a little bit to be expected because they were all playing out of their collective minds. But even all that said, as I mentioned, they're still a decent amount above 500. And I think as we're having this conversation there, offense is kind of middle of the pack, I believe, and I don't want to dig too deep into the analytics, but essentially they're hovering above league average. So all things considered with them, considering that not everything is clicked, they're in a very good position. And the same thing kind of applies with the Dodgers as well. Their thing hasn't necessarily been underperformance. It's been the injury bug. And you look up and down their roster, and it's hard to find someone who hasn't had some type of ailment. Mookie Betts has missed time. Cody Bellinger just came back from the IL. Corey Seager is missing time. All of these guys that are core to this team have essentially everyone has missed time in some capacity, and they're still hanging around. They're still playing elite baseball. And so in terms of the Giants, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough once the Padres start hitting their stride, once the Dodgers start hitting their stride. But the thing with the Giants is that nothing seems inherently unsustainable with the way that they're playing, because they're doing it in a way that's adhering to kind of the core fundamentals of the game. They're pitching well, they're playing, they're having a situational hitting. They're fielding really well. Again, as I alluded to with Mike Talkman, I believe it was Susan Slesser who had a really good article about the outfield and their particular and their level of defense that they're playing. So nothing strikes me as inherently unsustainable with the Giants. And so I'm really excited to just see like how this progresses, especially once the Padres start hitting their stride and especially once the Dodgers start getting healthy.
Well, it's been a fun race all season long. I think there's no question that Giants fans have been pleasantly surprised by this team, and to see them still ahead of the San Diego Padres and Los Angeles Dodgers, it means a lot to people around the Bay Area. But you've covered a number of different teams this season. I know that you've also kept an eye on the New York Mets and what they've accomplished in the National League East. And you mentioned Kevin Gausman so far, and you also mentioned the pitcher who would prevent him from winning the Cy Young this year, and that's Jacob DeGrom. I know you were tuned in the other night when DeGrom was dominating the San Diego Padres. What has made him so special, aside from the 100-plus mile-an-hour fastball, the 93, 94-mile-an-hour slider? Justice, what does Jacob DeGrom do that just mesmerizes you in a way that other pitchers have not been able to this season?
What's so interesting about DeGrom is that the formula isn't crazy. It's not like a Yu Darvish situation where he has every single pitch under the sun in his bag. DeGrom essentially is composed of mainly two pitches, which is his fastball, which, as you alluded to, can hit triple digits like it's nothing, as well as a low 90s slider that's a faster than a decent chunk of pitcher's fastball. And the thing with DeGrom in particular is, especially if you're a right-handed hitter, you know what's coming. He's going to set you up with that fastball. It's probably going to be away. And then he's going to hit you with that low 90s slider away. And if you kind of look at the swinging strikes that he got on Friday night against the Padres, and you look at his slider, they were essentially all in the same place. And for right-handed hitters, that was away. For left-handed hitters, that was low and inside. And so his ability to just consistently hit that point, and not even that, but just the fact that right-handed hitters know what's coming. It's not a secret anymore where DeGrom is going to go, how he's going to attack you. And to still be able to consistently generate swings and misses and have performances like he did last night where he carried a perfect game until it was, I believe, the fifth inning, it's just remarkable what he's doing. And I want to throw a stat your way. And so there's a stat called ERA plus, and without delving too much into the specifics, it's essentially a league adjusted stat where 100 is average, 125 is good, 75 isn't good. And so the higher up you go with this stat, the better. And so for context, DeGrom's ERA plus in 2018, when he won the Cy Young, was 218.
Whew.
That's remarkable. DeGrom's ERA plus in 2019 was 171. Again, that's remarkable. And to give you just another bit that's not DeGrom, just for some context, Pedro Martinez in the year 2000, when he had his remarkable run, 291, which is, I believe, is the highest all-time carry. Jacob DeGrom's ERA plus, as of the time we're speaking, is 688. There's simply just no words to comprehend just how otherworldly he's been. One of the guys that he faced last night, Fernando Tatis Jr., MVP candidate, one of the most exciting players in the game. No disrespect to Fernando Tatis Jr. at all, but DeGrom made it look like he was a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
I think he generated six swings and misses in their two plate appearances. Just downright nasty, undoubtedly the best pitcher on the planet right now.
That's awesome. One of my favorite Jacob DeGrom stats this season is he's getting it done at the plate. Former college shortstop, five RBIs, four earned runs allowed. So speaking of two-way players, and a few more that I want to throw to you, Justice, Shohei Ohtani, who have you had more fun watching this season? Jacob DeGrom for what he's done on the mound and at the plate, or Shohei Ohtani for what he's done on the mound and at the plate?
No disrespect to Jacob DeGrom at all, but I've had just an absolute blast being able to watch Shohei Ohtani in person. It's so remarkable every time I see him. It's even on those nights where, you know, he doesn't do anything necessarily spectacular at the plate. It's just the mere idea that I'm sitting here in this moment, being able to watch someone that's excelling on both sides of the ball. And I know a lot of people make the argument that, oh, he's overrated as a pitcher. Oh, he's overrated as a hitter. And, there is a little bit of merit to truth to those things, in the sense that You know, he's not the best hitter in the league when you look at the stats, and he's not the best pitcher in the league when you look at the stats. But it's the fact that he can essentially do both of those things at a top 20 level on both sides, to where some of his detractors kind of miss the forest for the tree. Am I saying that expression right?
It doesn't matter. We get the point.
the listeners will know what I mean, but, you know, it's just right now in this moment in time, just to kind of broaden the scope a little bit, just can we just talk about how much fun it is to just be a fan of baseball in 2021? Because, like, we've mentioned Jacob DeGrom, we've mentioned Shohei Ohtani, we've mentioned Fernando Tatis Jr., and that's just three of the generational talents that are in this game, and we're excluding so many others. Just the Juan Sotos of the world, the Ronald Acuna Jr.'s of the world, so many others that are playing this game right now. And it's just incredible to watch just the pure amount of talent that's in this game right now.
No question. The athleticism is incredible, and I have fun on a nightly basis, and I always have fun chatting baseball with you. Justice De Los Santos, he covers Major League Baseball, a wide variety of topics and teams for MLB.com. First time, but this will not be the last time, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us on Talking Baseball.
I appreciate you for having me.
All right, like I said, Justice De Los Santos, keep an eye on him, rising star in the industry. You're listening to KMBR 104.5 680, the sports leader.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.